market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we come to you steeped in a culture that has not only rejected you, but has done quite a bit of creative writing with their own beliefs. They are either themselves their gods, or, Father, they have lifted up gods of other people or other creations. Lord, I just pray this, that you reach into our hearts, help us to cling to that which is true, and Lord, help us to do right in your eyes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, I've often heard people use this passage of Scripture to make the point that we need to be more open and accepting of outside culture as well as outside religion. Now, when I say culture, I don't mean food, dress styles, that sort of thing. I'm more talking about the current humanistic type mentality of our world. Hey, we should be a lot more accepting. We should be nice and kind about it. And while I am the first one to stand up and say, hey, we need to show the love of God to people, we need to show that example to them, we also have no right and no ability to accept sin. Can I love you though you are wrong? I'm going to anyway. However, I cannot accept what you are doing. Had a conversation with my with a family member, and they were adopting what they would call an alternative lifestyle. And they said, "Do you accept me?" And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And failing for a good definition of it, well, do you love me? Of course I love you. I've known you since you were a small child. I held you right here. I was part, like when your mom would pray for you, would pray at night when I would stay over at her house, we would pray that you'd even be able to exist. I love you. Well, are you okay with what I do? No. Well, how can you love me and not be okay with what I do? Very easily. I love you. That's sin. Well, you're rejecting me. No, I'm rejecting what you're doing. I love you. And that's a hard road to kind of dig out. It's hard for people to understand. Right? One of the biggest things that the common culture thinks today, or that I have the hardest time with, is the idea that you can love the sinner but hate the sin. They don't accept that. Why don't they accept that? Because you're still saying that what I'm doing is sinning. You still say that what I'm doing is wrong. And in the modern day religion of humanism, what I do is who I am. Right? I was all excited. I came over to Sister Glenda this morning. I said, "Hey, sister, I got up to a 3/4 mile without stopping and jogging. So proud of myself." Right? Can I call myself a jogger? I jog. Am I a jogger? Well, what do you mean? Am I a runner? Like if I say, "Hey, I'm a runner," and you've never met me before and you saw me, would you be confused? Right? And you look at the magazines, all the little running magazines, and say, "Well, listen, you know, if you run, you're a runner. All right, I'm a runner." But am I in the traditional sense of what? Does that add to my definition? How long can I not go for a jog before I'm no longer a runner? Right? Is it the moment I stop running, now I'm a walker? And then later on, when I did too much and I'm having a hard time getting it home, am I a crawler? When I'm in my chair a few hours later, am I a whiner? Is what I am, is what I do what I am? No. I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I am a sinner. And that's it. Anything coming out of me was already in me. And contrary to what the modern day society says, just because it's in me doesn't mean it's good. This heart can devise evil. Any heart can devise any kind of evil. That's why, again, as much as I would preach that we need to stay away from sin and eschew it and deplore it as much as God would have us to do, you cannot look down on those that are caught in sin, because guess what? You could just as easily be there. right? I brought somebody up in my Sunday school class this morning. I'm not better than that person. I very well could be in their shoes were it not for God's grace and were it not for the teaching that I had and clinging on to it. There was nothing about me that makes me any better. Am I better off? I'd like to think so. Why? Because of God's wisdom, not mine. Right? And that's the case for all of us. Right? Me and Brother Charlie, we're racing to get to the church, right? I go by the speed limit, he doesn't. He gets pulled over. Who got there first? Me. Who won? Me. Was it because of me? No, I just obeyed the speed limit. Right? It wasn't my fault he mouthed off to the cop and they pulled... No, okay. As we continue to read on in our script... verse 20 says, "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars' hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." See, the thing with the Athenians is they were very much what we think of, you know, Greece. Those Greek gods, that's who all the temples were to, right? Zeus and Hades and Poseidon, they had temples all over the place, right? They had temples to Athena. They were named after Athena, right? It was just, that's what they did. As Paul walked through, he saw all the statues, saw all the altars, and it bothered him. It bothered him trying to figure out why is it that they have come this crazy. Like, I'm used to a certain level of crazy, and I kind of feel like the frog in the boiling pot, don't you? And it seems like every couple years or so, we're introduced to a brand new level of heat, right? So Paul felt like someone just took him as a frog and dropped him right into the pot. This is too much, too fast. What's happening here? And not only that, but there were Jews in the area that were just not bothered by this, right? And we see that in the fact that he goes straight to them to talk this over with them. Now, these Athenians, they also had another problem, not just their superstition, but they also had the problem of they had nothing else to do, some of them, but to hear or talk about a brand new thing. Now, I love to hear new things. I love science. I love podcasts. Podcasts are a very popular medium to get information now. Now, if you don't know what that is, think of it like an internet broadcast. It's like a radio program on different things. And you can even get old radio programs on podcasts. Anybody listen to Dragnet when you were younger? Back when they just had the radio? You listened to the Dragnet? You didn't watch the Dragnet. You listened to the Dragnet? Okay. I like it. I got a podcast. I can listen to Dragnet. I can listen to yours truly, Johnny Dollar. I'm an old man. I love that stuff. Like I love the older things. I don't think they created anything good past when I was born. But it's a pretty good medium. And you know what? People like listening to them because, you know, somebody can sit there and put together something on this politics or this science or something like that. And you can listen to that and you can learn that. You could be mowing your lawn while you do it. The Athenians had that craving. I want to hear something new. And in many ways, there are people that hop from church to church, religion to religion, thought to thought, because they want to hear something new. So we see two major problems going on in this culture. Give me something new, give me something new. And also, they had far too many gods going on here. And the gods that they had were no good. Right? Now Paul, what was he there to preach? He was there to preach religion. Their religion was not only all wrong, but they had a whole lot of it. And they even got it to where they were so inclusive of everything, they even had that one little altar there, that one little temple there, to the unknown God. Just in case we left anybody out. We got the ones to the waters and to the harvest and to the wine and to wisdom and to war and to all these things. And you know what? Just in case we leave anybody out, here's one for them. Now, that's our, folks, that's today. As today, I'll hear feminists argue about the acceptance of Islam in America. Do you know how women are treated in the Islamic religion? You know how to divorce a woman in Islam? You take her up someplace high and you throw her off. And if she survives, she lives in shame for the rest of her life. Right? I divorce thee. And you chuck her off. Right? We grew up just a little bit outside of Dearborn. Somebody was asking me recently about, Sharia law being down there. We know that. That's what they do. And there are some areas where if you go to try, you get sued. Right? The law can't go in there. Cops go in there. You're hampering our religious freedom. Right? So it's perfectly possible for a man to grab a stick and beat his wife as long as it's no thicker than her thumb, and that's perfectly acceptable. And yet feminists will sit there and say, well, we got to be all inclusive. Do you understand what they would very quickly do to you if they had any hold in this place? All right, we think about it. Well, we got to be all open and accepting because I had somebody tell me just recently, we're all working together for the same goal. That doesn't make any sense to me. If I go out to the street and I'm parked out here and I'm getting ready to go and I've got my right turn blinker on, and then Brother Tim, he goes out and he's got his left turn blinker on, right? We're both in cars, but we're not going the same direction, right? Now we're both using vehicles. We're both using gas to propel those vehicles, but we're not headed the same direction, right? So if I take somebody from a false religion and they are doing things differently, and now my goal is to do everything scripturally. Their goal is to do everything based off of tradition and the teachings of man. We're not going to end up in the same place. I can't turn my wheel left and you can't turn your wheel right and us end up in the same spot unless we can do some very clever maneuvering. It's not the same path. So we've got to be very mindful of that. And that's what Paul's sitting there looking at. He's looking at all of this wrong. All of this is wrong. All of it's irritating. And somebody asked me, they said, is it okay for me to get mad at everything that I'm seeing? Yeah. In many ways, it ought to. It ought to. When they're taking young kids and they're teaching them that you can be any gender you want and they're forcing chemicals into their veins so they can be, a boy can be a girl, a girl can be a boy, and then we just erase the idea of what a gender is altogether and you can be any of the 64 flavors, right? You just, whatever you want. We're teaching those kids that, and then we see that they get to 11, 12, 13, that pubescent age, that there's something wrong with them hormonally, they're becoming depressed, they're having issues, they're getting sick, and everybody sits back going, well, I wonder what's causing it. I talked to somebody one time, they fancied themselves a psychiatrist, they were still in school, and I asked them the question, because they wanted to specialize in people of an alternative lifestyle to help them out. And I said, well, do you think that so much anxiety comes because of what they're doing or because they're afraid of how what they're doing is being perceived? And she goes, what? I go, are they anxious because people don't like what they're doing or are they anxious because of what they're doing? She goes, oh no, it's definitely the rejection of it. The fact that society and culture and families don't want gay people in their home or don't want transgender people in their home is why they have so much anxiety. I'll go, okay. Well, I'm looking at it today and it's a good 6-7 years after I've had that conversation. And guess what? It's widely more accepted, isn't it? Suicide rates are still as high. That should bother someone who thinks that this is okay. That should bother them. But for whatever reason, it doesn't. Anyone who knows anything about the religious background of the Athenian Greeks would know that their desire for new things greatly affected everything in their lives. They curled around the most amazing stories, but scratched their head at what Jesus, about this Jesus and the resurrection, right? And they said, you're telling this about Jesus and this resurrection. We're struggling with that. And in many ways, I see what we see today mirrored in this attitude where they believe that Zeus transformed himself into a swan so he could seduce a woman as the swan, but they call Paul a babbler. They believe a man named Cronos ate all the children he could produce, and yet Paul was a setter forth of strange gods. Their god of wine gestated in the thigh of Zeus until he could be born, but they accused Paul of bringing certain strange things to their ears. Do you understand the disconnect? It'll never be a matter of, I reject Christ and the teachings of Christianity because
I'm inclusive. That doesn't happen. You're not all inclusive. You accept the things that accept what you want to do. And in many ways, that's why you see churches full. You believe that it's okay that I do this. You say that it's okay that I do this. It's even permeated the conversations of Christians. Well, what does your church believe? Not, hey, where does your church stand in this teaching of the Bible? What does your church believe? What does the new pastor think? The old pastor was against this. Well, maybe the new pastor will be for it. That's not the cutting line. The cutting line will always be, thus saith the Lord. And without that, we will struggle. So what do we have here on our hands? We have the title of our message, and that is The Agitated Preacher. Verse 16 again. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Wholly given to idolatry. Not part, not some, not most. Well, because I made that statement earlier that even the Jews were getting into this thing. Wholly given to idolatry. Everything was given to it. So he's walking by the temple that should be to the God that he served. Now again, he had many conversations with Jews, trying to convert Jews. Paul knew what he was doing. Paul was a very educated man. And he's sitting there and he's looking at this. And no doubt that temple there in Athens had just a weird flavor to it. And the people, the Jews, would probably most likely be wearing the same pendants and things that many of the false religionists would wear. Why? Because it's in fashion. It looks good. Everybody else has one. I want one too. Right? I want to fit in. I want to look just the same way as everybody else does. This agitated Paul, right? His spirit was stirred up in him. We know what that's like. When we see something and something gets to bothering us, it stirs us up. It ought to stir us up. We see, number one, that he did not like what he saw. And what he saw was pagan religion everywhere. These handmade structures that people would later come back and bow down and worship. And that gets to me. How is it that we can get away and justify worshiping something that we made? Now, out of my lawn, I've got a small little lawn statue, right? Now, I went to the Menards. We got it. We put it in the car. I carried it home in a small shopping bag. I took it out and I put it out on the porch, namely to freak out the kids. And I put it there. Now, if you found out that I got up every morning at 5:30 and bowed before the statue that was made in China, shipped over in a boat, was carried into the house by me, paid for by me, painted by some kid probably so he could feed his family, and you found that I was going out there at 5:30 in the morning and I was bowing down and I was praying to it, how quickly would I be out of here? Would you at least help me pack my books? Right? You're going to need those, brother. Get out of here. You come by my house, you come by to say hi, and I'm out there on the front porch, I'm sitting in the chair, I'm talking to it. You think this is perfectly everyday practice for them. Right? Oh, my granddaddy built that one. That's to Athena. My granddaddy built that. We wouldn't go to that one all the time. Right? Our name was high in this city because, you know, wait, you go there all the time? Yeah, you worship? Yeah, your granddaddy made it? Yeah. My granddad used to have little plastic squirrels in his yard. I don't go worship those. Now that's that. We said, well, brother, that's a ridiculous thing. We would not do that today. Although there are many people who worship statues of Buddha and things like that. But anyway, many people claiming to be Christians who are kneeling before a statue of Mary today. But what we're seeing this is not just the stone idols where we're pretending that they're real, right? The grown-ups with you know, stone teddy bears kind of thing. It's not like that. Many of us, we worship at idols that are still of man's creation, but are a little bit more socially acceptable, right? Things that would be more, you know, that would sedate us. Screens, drugs, alcohol, whatever, that would sedate us so we're just kind of relaxed. And everything's fine. And maybe I'll mow the lawn today. Maybe I'll vote. I don't know. And we're happy. I've got my money. You know, my money can be one of those sedentary things too. I got a lot of money. I'm fine. I can do this. I can do that. And I everything's okay. Right? You were talking about Jeff Bezos this morning. If the world got hit by like a meteor, that man would probably find a way to be okay with all that money. He could probably build a bunker with the cash
and still be okay. You know what I mean? I want to just, no, I'm perfectly fine. Everything. People worship those things. I've got to work 20 hours a day. I've got to have my toys. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. And we worship those things. You know, the pastor got up there and he's preaching on music again. He's preaching on how you entertain yourselves again. And I really don't like it when he does that. Well, guess what? I'm going to stop. Quarter to never. It's just, I'm going to keep it up. Why? Because I do firmly believe that what you put in your mind affects you. Right? You look at anybody, that's one thing of all the psychiatrists and religions and whatever's out there, even those that are just spiritual, right? They all believe the same thing. What you put in is what comes out, right? That's a universally accepted thing. If I just have garbage in, it's what's eventually going to come back. Caspian, turn around. And we understand, right, that we have to keep certain things out of us, right? Pagan religion was everywhere. The other thing that bothered him was the seeming compliance from God's chosen people. See how I flipped the coin real quick on things that are more worldly acceptable and flipped it around to things that we might find acceptable, because we can worship in the same way. And we would sit there, we would say, well, I would never do that, and I would never think that that's important. I would never go out there and sing songs about this and do that, but I would pay money to have somebody entertain me that way. To me, it's very much the same way. We need to be careful of what we're doing. Our compliance to things is a major issue. If I were to find out that my neighbor were abusing their child, and in my job I came across that a few times where somebody was very obviously abusing their child. It was a 3-year-old that they had left alone for hours at a time while they would go out and do whatever. If I don't do anything about that, what's that going to do to me on the inside? That is compliance to a problem. All right, I have to step and I have to do something. Right? Now, that's a hard thing to understand what to do legally and what I'm allowed to do. But if eventually, a lot of times, it just came down to this conversation. I'd call them into my office. Hey, can I have a meeting with you real quick? I want to talk about your lease. Okay, right. Then come on in. All right, what about my lease? Do you want to talk about the fact that I will end it in a heartbeat if you leave your child alone again? It's, you got to do something, right? We are compliant to sin in this world in so many different ways. In many ways, we're not just compliant, but we're the Jews that go to the synagogue and then would later sell statues on the side. Why? Because, well, my business sells statues, so I've got to. Right? We've got to be careful with our actions. We are coming up on the 100th year of Vladimir Lenin's body being on display in Red Square. Do anybody know about that? You could go to Red Square, go see Vladimir Lenin's body. Perfectly preserved. Every 18 months, they go and they get his body and they bring it back and they re-embalm it the best they can and then put it back out there so that everybody can come by and see Vladimir Lenin's body. This was the man who was responsible for the Red Terror. Tens of thousands of people were sequestered into concentration camps and killed. But for this man's ideology. And yet he's still there. That bothers me, right? How about this one? The statues, paintings, and pagan symbolism that run rampant in the Catholic and Lutheran churches disturbs me. When I talk to a priest, and when I say the Bible says, they say yes, but tradition or the church says in return. That bothers me. You can ask someone, are you sympathetic to the feminist movement? And they will say, yes, of course I'm sympathetic to it, right? It's horrible. I wish more men would get out of the way for women to have their due. I say, okay, well, that's great. Are you sympathetic to the transgender movement? Well, yes, absolutely. I believe you are what you feel you are. Okay, well, how about this? There are kids out there, there are men out there, or boys out there who fail in JV, take the summer off, become a girl, come back and compete on the varsity team as a girl. They're winning competitions, which means that other female athletes can't progress through those competitions, and they're losing opportunities to get scholarships, right? So those are being taken away from women. So how do you, as a feminist, requite those two facts? And every time I've brought that up, I'm either a vile, horrible name, right? Because when you've got nothing to say, you might as well chuck an insult. Or number two, they say nothing. Right? There's one in particular. What was her name? Forgive me. Serena Soule. She has a current lawsuit out right now. I'm not sure if it's closed in the last few days or not or what.
but claiming that she has been denied almost 100 opportunities because there were two people in her district who were born men, transgender women, and have competed, and because she would take third or fourth, would not be able to move on into the next echelon of the competition. Now, when you ask the world about this, they'll say, well, never has a transgendered man won a scholarship competing as a woman. Well, no, but if I can't get to first or second place as a woman because some dude stole it, I can't move on, which means I can't get to where the scholarships are. You understand? Men may not be taking the scholarships from them, but they're standing in the door. How do you feel about that? Oh, that bothers me. I think it's idolatry when a Christian spends all their time talking politics, social issues, and conspiracy theories, but can say nothing concerning of the scripture. If you can tell me the full schedule of Kennedy's shooting, but you look in the look for the book of Psalms in the New Testament, I think there's something wrong. Now listen, I love social issues. I love to talk about them. I love to learn about politics. I do. I have a love for that. But I'll tell you what my parents used to tell me. First you mow the lawn, then you go kayaking, right? First you handle your business. You better know your scripture. And then you get to play in the world. Then you get to see what's going on with the social issues and the politics. But if you don't know this, you're going to get torn up out there doing the other, right? Tossed about by every wind of doctrine is what the Bible says. If I'm not first grounded here, so mow your lawn first. And then, so you better know where the book of Psalms is. You better be in the book of Psalms before you want to tell me about JFK. You want to tell me about the banking crises. You better know that stuff right there. There's some folks that would dare, they're just, I don't feel comfortable giving the gospel, but they'll tell you all about how Mars came down, took over the president, and we're surrounded by lizard people. Drives me absolutely bonkers. It's like, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, a long, long time. When's the last time you read the Bible? Well, you know, I like to read the Bible. I have a hard time focusing. But then they'll tell you about how they spent hours researching whether or not vaccinations are good or bad. Oh, I have a hard time listening to my pastor preach. He went on for about an hour today. Oh, okay, so you have a short attention span. That makes sense. And then they'll go home and they'll watch 7 hours of a television show on Netflix. That's a problem to me. Right? It is okay to have your dander up. He was stirred on the inside. There was a problem. And you know what? The fact of the matter is this, and people want to get away from it. Wrong is wrong. That's a simple statement, but it's a true statement. Wrong is wrong. When is it right to be wrong? Xander, when is it right to be wrong? Never. It's never right to do the wrong thing. You tell we preach that sermon all the time? It's never right. Well, what about this? No. What about that? No. Well, what if this happens? No, it's never right to do the wrong thing. God gives very precious little gray areas when it comes down to what we ought to do. Thou shalt not always means thou shalt not. We see that he was not only bothered, because I'll tell you what, I'm good at getting bothered. Oh, when I ask my kids a question, that's the question you ought to ask them. Does daddy ever get bothered? Daddy gets bothered. It's good to be bothered. It's good to look at things and go, well, that's sin. It's good to look at your own life and get bothered by the sin in your own life. It is good. It is bad, though, when you get bothered, but you don't do anything about it. Right? I'm going to start my car, but I'm not going to go anywhere with it. I'm going to start the lawnmower. I'm going to zip tie the thing closed so it'll run, and I'm going to walk away from it. Why bother turning the engine on if you're not going to get any work done? Right? He didn't just get bothered by it. He did something about it. Verse 17 in our text, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Disputed. You know how many sermons I have heard that talked about that this is about passivity and inclusivity? How when he was referring to the God, he was using their religion to maybe possibly push them to the thought? No, he was very bold about this. As it turns out, Paul is a lot like Paul. He's kind of the bench on this one. Paul was a haggard man when it came down to the truth. Why? Because he knew what it was like to be wrong. He knew where false religion went. He stood there over the clothes of Stephen, right? As Stephen's blood ran red in the street, he stood there and looked at his clothing. He knew where false religion took you, and he got bothered by the false religion. So what did he do? Did he go over and, hey, listen, just can you read this? For a second, just read that tract, and if you have any thoughts or anything, just call my pastor, and we'll see you later. No! Paul disputed with him!
And you know what? Based off of some of the things that I've read that Paul has said, I'm guessing that Paul must have been real fun to talk to in person too. Hey, what's going on with all this? What are you wearing? You shouldn't have that, and that shouldn't happen. And listen, now we'll talk about the fact that you guys are rejecting Jesus Christ later. We'll talk about Jesus Christ. What is all of this? And don't you have any problems with it? And why are you doing it? Why are you conforming to it? Right? He said dispute. Now there's a difference between me yelling at somebody and a dispute. Okay? I push you, you push me. That's a fight. I say something, you say something angry back. That's a dispute. We're disputing. That's a two-way thing. They're fighting back. And oh, if today is any measure of what yesterday must have been like, I could almost hear what they were saying. What, Paul, listen, you can't rock the boat. All right, listen, you're never going to get anybody into the synagogue if you're not more accepting of some of the practices that go on around. Listen, Pastor, your church isn't going to go anywhere if you don't have rock music. Pastor, your church isn't going to grow unless you buy my book and do these five things. Right? Because all of a sudden now it's become a matter of you can't grow unless you accept society. Well, I tell you what, everywhere that I've read where God has caused a church to grow, it says that God gave the increase. It didn't say, well, the Athenians who were so not upset or so unoffended gave the increase. The Jews gave the increase. The Gentiles gave the increase. No, God gave the increase. Right? I said this in a meeting. We were talking about the thing we're going to do with the kids here in June, which I hope you're still excited about that. I am. Right? And by the way, I could use a few volunteers for that. Someone who can dedicate their time on a Thursday to come by and help me set up some equipment, tear down some equipment, and also make sure the kids are having a good time. So I really appreciate that. But I was talking to the parents. Listen, nothing we do in this church will ever be about making those numbers go up. It's not. Well, brother, that's not good. That's bad. No, let me finish. I want to obey the Lord. I want to give the gospel because God told me to give the gospel. I'm going to go and do outreach because God commanded me to work the Great Commission. We're going to have classes, Sunday school classes. We're going to have preaching. Why? Because that's part of the Great Commission to establish and to teach minds, both young and old, lost and saved. We're going to do those things. My job is to obey the Lord. It is Him that will handle that numbers board. If I do everything I've been commanded, God's going to take care of those numbers. And there's going to be some years where we've got high numbers. There's going to be some years where we've got low numbers. That number belongs to the Lord, right? I'm going to give the gospel like it's going out of style. I'm going to invite people to church when I walk across and I see them. I'm going to do the obedience part. He handles the success part. And that's the goal. It ought to be the goal, right? I'm going to give myself to Him, right? I'm not concerned about the world going and saying, hey, well, they sound nice. They seem accepting of sin, and that's what I want. I want a church that'll let me come in and smell like marijuana. Let me come in and let me miss church for 3 or 4 years in a row. Let me do this and let me do that, and everything's perfectly okay. No, we are striving together to a thing. We were talking about weight loss in the back corner over there. And you know what I would like, brother? I'd like a diet to let me eat anything I want, anytime I want. Right, that'd be a good diet. You know what, brother? I want a diet where I don't have to take anything. That'd be a good diet. You know, I want a diet to where if I can think of it and I crave it, it's okay for me to have it once a day. That'd be a good diet. That's the diet I have now. It's not working. Isn't that the case? I want things to just go the way I want it, but I want things to be better. Right? I don't want to have to change anything. I don't want to have to do anything, but I want all the blessings of God. Well, that doesn't work. I can't get the mud out of my boots if I'm standing in the creek. It's just not going to happen. I remove myself from that situation. He was an active person. He took it to the synagogues. He took it to the Jews. We also see here that he took it to the devout. Anyone who would listen to him. He even went to the marketplace and anyone who would just stop and hear him, he had a conversation with. Again, with that verse 17. And in the market daily with them that met with him. So there he is. He's standing over by the avocado stand. And there's somebody with one of those, you know, maybe a little pendant to Poseidon or to Athena or to any of those other gods. And he'd sit there and he'd say, now, why are you wearing that for? What does that mean? Well, hey, let me tell you about this. And it got to the point where so many people had heard about it that some of the higher echelons of the society who had that desire to hear the new things go, hey, let's take this guy over to Mars's Hill and let's have a conversation with him. Let's hear what he has to say because we want to hear it, right? Again, the Athenians, they prided themselves on wisdom and new and acceptance and tolerance and all their gods. And they love that stuff. Please tell us something new. We have itching ears. We want to hear something strange. And you know what? He did not back down on that either. You ever have the opportunity to preach? You ever have somebody just open the door for you? I had that happen at work one time. They must have not known I was there. Or they didn't know who I was. It was a brand new guy. He was talking about church. He goes, I've been thinking lately of getting into church. You've never seen a person walk through a door that fast. You know, for a half second there, I both looked and felt like the Kool-Aid man. Just, oh yeah, hey, I'll tell you what. That's my stuff. Listen, when we get those opportunities, we need to take those. Paul was presented that opportunity. We have opportunities every day to stand up and show who God is to a society that is just, it's have itching ears. The gospel is of such a great importance. There's no greater calling than that of the Great Commission. We need to be dedicated, addicted even to the teaching of the Bible. There's too much going on right now for any of us to be caught being lazy. There's too much, right? If I've heard 100 sermons about problems in our current culture, right, I've heard 1,000. It's just what it is. We must be active in our faith. We see that he was not only an active preacher, but he was also, verse 18, we see the beginnings of an aggressive preacher. He was not afraid to call out sin. Verse 18 with me, and it says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into the Areopagus saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. And if you'll join me over there in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now when we say ignorant there, I don't think that was waged as an insult. The word ignorant there means you just don't know. Hey, this guy you don't know who you're worshiping in ways that you don't, you really can't say one way or the other. It's him I'm talking to you about. Right? He did not mince words. He did not mince words. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't nasty, but he was aggressive in it. I heard a preacher say recently about a brand new 11th commandment that has hit the churches. Thou shalt not be mean. And we don't agree with the other 10. Right? And that's very much what a lot of people... Well, you can't tell anybody they're wrong. That's mean. You can't disagree with people. We're all right. Right? Now, some of you pray to Mary. Some of you pray to Jesus. Some of you pray to God. Yeah, we're all right, right? The guy worshiping Allah is the same person. No! We can't do that. That's blasphemy. Some of us are willing to tread the steps of blasphemy so that we don't hurt anybody's feelings. And again, it's not about putting the boots to every chest that walks by. It's more along the lines of, hey, listen, let me tell you the truth. Well, the idea of a truth that's not subjective to the hearer is offensive. Well, you're going to be offended, so get your teddy bear. Come over here. You know, I said that to a person one time. They didn't like that. I said, listen, if you need some Play-Doh, you need a puppy, I don't care. Bring it with you. It's time we talk about this. Right? You need a safe space. I'll create one for you, but I'm going to get in there with you. Right? We need to talk about this. Right? This is what's going on. This is what God says. It's not matching up. We got to set this straight. And in many ways, that's very intimidating for folks. Well, how do I stand up and say that my way is right? And that's often a big problem. We had somebody call Pastor Hugin at 3 o'clock in the morning one day. Somebody who had never come to our church, someone we didn't really recognize, called and just drunkenly started yelling into the voicemail. You know, he wasn't going to answer a phone number he didn't recognize at 3 a.m., and I probably won't either. But he just started cussing at, you guys think you're the only ones that are right? And blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. If I thought I was wrong, why would I do it?
be honest with you. If I thought that I had the wrong, if I thought that the Bible was not the truth, why would I put so much time on it? If I thought God wasn't right in all things, why would I bother? If I'm sitting here looking at this and this is how God wants me to serve him and this is how he wants me to worship him, if I'm wrong about that, why would I do it? If I thought I was wrong, right? Now there are many times I'll sit there, I'll question what I do. And I'll go to scripture and say, aha, there it is. All right, keep going. Right? It's okay to be right. But don't you dare think that you're right because of the humanist reasonings, because it's you. That's what the Bible says. Well, how do you know that's what the Bible says? Well, let's pull this thing apart. Let's look at the definitions. Let's look at the words. Let's look at the context. Let's pull all the way out in the study. Let's dig all the way down deep into the study. Zoom out, zoom in. Let's study this thing to the nth degree. Okay, this is the only plausible conclusion we can draw from this. Okay, that's it. Now I know. This is how I know. It bothers me. Well, what is your church belief? My church believes this. Okay, but what do you believe? Well, this is what I believe. Why? Well, I really can't defend it. It's just what my church believes. Whew. What are we? Right? Well, I'm not a theologian. That's too bad. You ought to be. Amen. Be right. Right? If I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord, I better know that that's what the Lord says. Paul had that. And he had no fear in calling out sin. There was a very unpopular pastor. He went over to a Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher was a very talented musician, had a very wonderful voice. Many people would come to the church just to hear this guy give a special. And then he went over to the Sunday school teacher. He said, listen, I've heard that you are going and you're singing in the bars and you've been doing some things that you're not supposed to do. You either have to give up those things or you need to step aside as a Sunday school teacher. And the man was so incensed and so irritated by this, he walked away from the church altogether. It was a Baptist church, by the way. Walked away from it, wanted to have nothing to do with it. A little tiny church, and it suffered. People stopped visiting on a Sunday morning to hear the specials. People just didn't want to have anything to do with it. The people in the church were upset because it was bringing a certain amount of money into the church. There was a lot of frustration over it. So if I were to ask you this, if I found out that a Sunday school teacher was entertaining people at the bar, going to bars, drinking, would it be okay by Home Baptist Church if I remove that Sunday school teacher? You say, yeah. What if I told you that same guy would go on to get wrapped up into drugs, would have four different marriages that all ended because, well, infidelity. And when asked about that infidelity, that particular Sunday school teacher looked at the person who asked him about it and said, well, it was a lot of fun. I'd do it again. Not in those exact words, but he did use the phrase, I would do it again. Would Home Baptist Church be okay with me excluding that person? What if later we found out that this person believed that as they were writing music and as they were performing music, that angels, archangels, demons, and a radio signal from space would often be intercepted by his brain and would allow him to perform? Would we all say that perhaps we should take this individual and get them some help? We should work. This person believes that they are talking to angels, archangels, demons, and aliens. We should probably make sure that they're okay, possibly get the driver's license. Let's keep an eye on this guy. He's going to hurt himself, right? We would say that. But I would wonder how many Baptist churches would get mad at me if I stood up and I preached against listening to Willie Nelson. Because that's who that Sunday school teacher was. Now, folks, I grew up listening to the Redheaded Stranger. I grew up listening to Dolly Parton, who created many, many gospel songs. But when asked why she looked the way she looked, she goes, well, I modeled my appearance off of the City Loose Woman. That's kind of an uncomfortable thing for me to be in right now. Like, I don't know. Maybe you guys all hate country music. I don't know. But we're okay with certain things, but don't you dare touch others. We're perfectly okay with this, but we're not okay with that, right? Hey, you know, listen, if a regular individual were to do it, right? Hey, Glenda, if you found out that I was doing those things, you would say, no, get this guy out of here. We got to do something with this. There's something obviously wrong here. But if I dare touch the throne of a country singer or a gospel singer or David Phelps, affair with his wife, went into secular music. I told somebody one time ago, that's wrong. They got mad at me. Why? Because that's the great David Phelps. Right, I told a Bill Gaither joke one time, got me in trouble. I did. How dare you? How dare he write music without running it by his wife first? That man needs to. No, he created many wonderful works of art. I'm not, but you get what I'm saying. We have our own idols. Well, how do you say that that's an idol? Because I bet if I really worked hard, I could probably irritate somebody in this room by finding a name that we're not allowed to touch. You can't talk about that person like that. That's not right. You know, they're perfectly okay with whatever sin they create. They'll still entertain themselves by that. We need to be unashamed in that. Say, listen, that's sin. What they're doing is sin. I'm not saying I wouldn't give them the gospel, give them a meal, give them some water, give them a pop. I'll give them the coldest pop I got. I don't care. I'm not talking about that. That is wrong. This is wrong. Well, that offends me because I really like them. You know what? I really like a lot of people who are in sin too. I do. I like the sounds of certain music. I like the way certain things go. But at the same time, sin is inevitably and always sin. And this is what happens with it. Here's a simple formula that I have developed, that I have learned, right? You get somebody to say, well, I enjoy A. And you say that A is wrong. Therefore, because A equals me, you've offended me. You said I'm wrong. Because you picked on Willie Nelson, because you picked on Dolly Parton, because you picked on this rapper, this country music, this singer, this pop singer. Right? And many of us, they'll hear certain things. Right? There was a little girl. She did wonderful in music. Right? Her pastor loved having her come up and sing specials. Her mom was sitting in the kitchen one day in Texas doing dishes. The little girl came in singing. She was probably right around Caspian's age when they found out that she could sing. Went on, did wholesome children's programs, right? Everybody thought it was amazing, right? That's Britney Spears. I've heard people use that argument. Well, she's a Baptist. Willie Nelson was a Baptist. Do you know what he sings? You know what he purports? You know what he teaches? He teaches that perverted gospel. He got out of church, starts telling anybody who would listen of this belief that he has, that he's been reincarnated multiple times in this weird spiritual cycle throughout his life. Yeah. We can't call out that sin. Why? We have to. We have to call out sin, especially when it's my sin. Some of you folks, you're so wonderful to me. You come up, you say, hey, pastor, I really needed that sermon. Hey, pastor, I'm really struggling with that sermon. Oh, man, one of these days you guys are going to realize I'm just preaching on me. You guys just happen to be here. I'm picking on me, right? Growing up, man, Willie Nelson was that's why I picked on Willie Nelson. Growing up, man, I loved Willie Nelson. I loved Dolly Parton. I did. And that's what Dad listened to. That's what Mom listened to. I grew up listening to all that stuff. And now I look back on it and I look at the lyrics and I look at what was being said there. And what we've done is we've taken the emotional cues of harmony and synchronization of sounds, and we're getting people to swallow sin because of it. This idea of what they're doing out there. there was another person they were interviewing. This was a famous rapper, and they were interviewing him about a participation they did on a children's show. And when asked about it, he goes, oh, yeah, I thought it was great that I was a part of that. And it was really good that I did that. And I'm sure I had a good time. And the interviewer goes, you sure you had a good time? He goes, well, that was back at a particular point in my life. I don't remember anything from that time period. I'm like, you guys should have vetted him before you interviewed him, because he's gonna have nothing for you on that time period. Right? Oh, but he was part of this kid's show. For all the good it did him. And for all the damage it did the kids that he was around. Right? We need to be comfortable calling out sin. We cannot get offended just because somebody says what we're doing is wrong. Right? Look at me. You're going to do something wrong. Everybody in this room has done something wrong. Don't get offended by that. Here's what we need to do instead. We need to have the strength to get it right. Right? I've seen too many people do socially acceptable things and ruin their lives doing socially acceptable and celebrated things. And he didn't just leave it there either. He called out to sin, but he also instructed them on how to return. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Listen, now when you say winked at, it doesn't mean God thought it was funny, you know what I mean? Every now and then Xander will come in and he'll tell a joke. All right, buddy, you got me. Wink at him. All right, you got me. That's a good one, right? That's not what it means by when God winked at it. It just means that God ignored it for a season. It was wrong, right? We talked about that with polygamy, having multiple wives, right? One man, 17 women living in the house. That's wrong, right? Now, God allowed men and women to do it. He didn't kill anybody for it, but just because he didn't kill anybody for it doesn't mean it wasn't wrong. And now what he's saying here is, listen, God winked at it in previous times, this stone goddery here that we've got going on here, but he's commanding you to stop. Right? Because before it wasn't opened up to them. Right? Jesus Christ come, died on the cross for our sins. Now it is open to the Gentiles as well. You need to put those stone works away. You need to put that nonsense out of here. Right? What we need to do is we need to have our being in God. Who I am ought to be a direct reflection of God, and how I see God, right, will change how I am and how I behave. At least it ought to. One out of cause the other. Right, we were talking about diets in the back, and you know, I found, because we were talking about, you know, some diets where you can't have stuff, and those are kind of a bummer. But I've also learned that if you stop having certain things in there, it prevents you from doing other things. Right, so the last couple of weeks, no added sugar in my diet, and that takes out a whole lot of fun. Right, so it says those that do the gluten-free diet, you can't go to Taco Bell. Well, what do you mean? Well, I guess there are some things you can do there, but you understand what I mean there? By doing this, I also can't do that. By having God and serving God and worshiping God as we see him in Scripture, it ought to change how we do things. It ought to change our actions. It ought to change our things and make other things just unreachable for us. Why? Because I wouldn't do this against God. Therefore, it removes all of this from my life. Right? God causes me to be sharp and attentive and focused, right? So therefore, I'm not going to do this, 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 or that. Right? We need to be focused in that way. Right? So what do? We first, we need to make sure that our whole being is wrapped up in him. And we also need to see him as he is. Verse 29 there, where it says, you know, he's not stone, he's not silver, he's not gold, he's not something we made with our hands, he's not something we invented. There's a lot of people that take the concept of the one true God, and they're trying to reinvent the ways to worship him. Don't do that. They try to review, well, you know what, you've got to kind of, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, it's there or it's not. Right, Sister James, that battle she's having with the mice. Now I'll put her new letter up in the back for those of you that haven't read it. They found where the mice were living. Now listen, if it were me and Danielle, I can almost see this conversation right here. Honey, I think we've got mice in the house. Danielle, we don't have mice in the house. I'm pretty sure we've got mice in the house. Does it matter that I don't believe? No. Does it matter that she does believe? No. Fact of the matter is, there's mice in the house. Those mice are there whether I agree they're there or not. Right? Well, I don't think that's dangerous. I do think it's dangerous. Well, when it killed them, didn't matter whether I believed it was or it wasn't. It's true. God doesn't need me to validate him. God doesn't need me to validate his teachings. Whether I agree with him or I don't agree with him, truth marches on. Right? So many people, well, I refuse to do that. If that's what God wants, I refuse God. Well, you can refuse God, but you're still here, right? It's like the illustration you brought up this morning. You can't kill yourself. You're going to live forever somewhere. Well, I reject that premise. Well, you can reject it all you want, but you're not going anywhere. You're stuck with it. It is an inalienable, unchangeable fact that that's just going to be the way it is. And then we see this. Paul just in the synagogue, in the marketplace. Jews, Gentiles, anyone who stood long enough for him to talk to, whether you met him at the temple or you met him over here at the avocado stand, Paul just shook everything up. Said anything, and when he met with those people, he told them all that he had to say. Verse 32, though, and when they had heard the resurrection, when they'd heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Here's the problem when you stand for the truth. You're going to have some people that make fun of you. You know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at dropping stuff. I'm really good at getting made fun of. Listen, guys, I was the fat kid in middle school. I know a joke or two. You know what I mean? I was religious in high school. I know a joke or two. I know what it's like to be made fun of. I know what it's like to be teased for my beliefs. Right? Danielle was the only girl wearing skirts in high school. Why any other girl in that entire school would be bothered by what somebody else wears, I don't know. I know jokes. I'm too old for jokes to bother me. Right? I am. I've come to that conclusion. Right? At the age of, I think it was 17 or 18, I'm just like, you know what? I'm tired of getting laughed at. I'm tired of being bothered by people laughing at me whose opinions I don't respect. Right? Oh, yeah, you don't think drinking's cool? You're stiff, you're square, you're gay two-shoes, blah, blah, blah. They dropped out of high school. Why? Because they couldn't be bothered to come in hungover. That doesn't bother me. Now, listen, I don't laugh at what they're going through. I don't take joy in what they're going through. But at the same time, that value system you have isn't working for you. So if you're going to judge me by that value system, all right, go ahead. If your jokes are based on your worldview and your worldview is hosing you hard, I'm okay with that. I'm okay by you saying that I don't fit in with that because it's not working for you. Right? Those people out there, they'll sit there and they'll have this very passe kind of service to the Lord. Well, maybe I'll be at church, maybe I won't be at church. Maybe I'll follow these rules, maybe I won't follow these rules. I'll listen to the pastor when he preaches on the things that I like, but if he preaches on the things I don't like, I'm going to come after him and I'm going to grumble. Right? I kind of chuckle at that. You're in danger. Right? We talked about it on Wednesday. That's the book of James. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you don't hang on to the firm concepts of what we're supposed to be doing, you're going to start messing up, right? Inconsistency is a plague. You understand me? Inconsistency is a plague. If I have it in one area, it permeates to others. Why? Because my flesh is lazy. Your flesh is lazy. No, it's not. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I work 12 hours a day and I do. No. Your flesh seeks comfort. Now, many of us, we can work and sweat and beat our bodies to death and still give in to whatever it wants. I'm not talking about you don't like work. I'm talking about you don't discipline your bodies. Don't discipline your flesh. Well, those are cheap words coming from you, brother. I get it. You understand what I'm saying? We all struggle with that. Telling myself no. Telling myself not to do that. Holding myself to God's standard. We all struggle in that area. What we need to do is we need to not be afraid of whether or not we will be mocked. Because it doesn't matter. Right? Do you think it ever bothered, whether it bothered Paul or not, we'll never know. But do you think it stopped Paul? It did not. Don't let things stop you. Well, I did this and I did that and so-and-so got angry about it, but I tried to show them in the Bible where that was what I was supposed to do and they still don't accept it. Well, it's in so-and-so's hands now. Did you try to talk to them about it? Yeah, they walked away. That's all you can do. You know what I mean? Well, my boss said to do this, but I know I'm not supposed to. He said he'd fire me if I didn't change what I was doing. Well, what's right to do? This? All right, well, that's what you're going to have to do. But I'm going to get some bad repercussions. It doesn't matter. Some will mock. Right? Well, wait a minute. If the world's just going to reject everything we do, well, hold on. Let's finish this verse. We see that some mocked. And we see the rest of the verse there. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Some are going to sit there and reject everything that God has to say. And some folks are going to sit there, they're going to hear, and they're going, you know what? Can I hear more? What else is there? I've been there. Well, I'll hear something. I'm a saved person. I sat there as a saved person. I heard somebody preach on something that I like doing. That bothered me. I don't like it. How dare you?
You know what the Lord did? The Lord worked and tore at my heart until one day I just kind of went over to the person and said, hey, listen, you and I have always disagreed on this aspect right here, but the Lord's convicting me. Can you tell me a little bit more? And folks, that may not be the reason why we take the stands we take, but that is an added benefit to it. You know, I can go out there, I can knock on 100 doors and probably have one person actually sit there and talk to me. And I'll say this, it was worth the 99. Isn't that what the Bible would say? It's worth the 99 for the one person that would sit there and entertain me for a second. It's worth it. Well, they were just being polite. Yeah, but they got the gospel anyway. And what the Holy Spirit's going to do with that, I don't know. But I appreciate that. Some will listen. And I've prayed this, that the Lord would put my heart into a place to where I would want to hear more of what God has to say. That I would not be the person that just sits there and goes, well, that goes against what I think. You know, there's a lot of things that I have found that go against what I think in my Christian growth. Again, I told you how I was raised. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a home where you pretty much just did what you felt. And, you know, my mom was saved long after I was. So we kind of had a different home. I came across a lot of things that you know what bothered me at first. One of the biggest things that broke my heart, Halloween. Went to church and heard my pastor, he did a devotion for the kids against Halloween. And oh, I came home so conflicted. Because I just went to church going, hey, Mom, Daddy, you know, I'm going to church. I'm so excited to go to church. And I get there, he's talking about Halloween. I loved Halloween. Put the costume on, free candy. I told you I was a fat kid, free candy. And I'm like, I don't get it. We're not worshiping devils. And then somebody taught me this. They say, listen, when you go out there, you see a lot of people dressed up as devils. You see a lot of gore. You see a lot of hands. I think one particular time I went up to somebody's door, they had like those little gummy eyeballs. Just dropped a gummy eyeball in my candy bag. That's disgusting. So I was just stuck to everything. That's grotesque stuff. So no, I may not actually be worshiping devils, but look at what we're glorifying. Look at what we're putting out there. There's blood everywhere. All right, get your five-year-old dressed up as a Dalmatian. Let's go. And I ask that question too. I go, Pastor, are you sure? He goes, yep. I go, but what if I don't dress as anything scary? Is that okay? Well, okay, you're going to dress up as something nice, and you're going to go out there with the zombies and the knives through people's heads and the blades and the guts and all the things, and that's okay? No. That broke my heart. Listen, there have been times in my life I've come across things from a childhood, you know, even to adulthood. Well, this is the way I think it ought to go. And you're reading in Scripture and you realize that's not how it goes. Oh. All of a sudden I remind myself of that little kid who just had to get over it. You know what I mean? You have to be strong in things, right? Well, how dare you be so piddly? It's not piddly over certain things. It's not. Have rules, abide by rules, stick by those things. Or else you'll find yourself in a hot mess. You know, I struggle from the things that I let have too much time in my mind. Don't you? Don't you often find that the things that you are only going to do just a little bit bothers your mind for years after? It should. It should be coming back at you. You're a sinner. Your body should always crave those things, desire those things. We put them aside. We be strong on those things. And also, we find ourselves unaccepting of idolatry, no matter what form it takes. And we're not afraid to take a stand. Listen, it offended a lot of people, the things that Jesus Christ had to say. It irritated and threw a lot of people into a very upset rage, some of the sermons that he would preach. Jesus Christ preached things that even though he went by and he was healing everybody's brother, sister, cousin, mom, dad, even though he was bringing people back from the dead, people still wanted to kill him. You can't get over opinion. And you know what? Opinion's going to change. Remember 9/11? Churches were getting filled. Packed. Even. I remember. Like even Flat Rock, tucked away where we were, we had a lot of visitors. Everybody wanted to know God. Everybody was proud to be an American. Whew. Say proud to be an American on social media today. Say proud to be American out loud at a grocery store today. And you're going to get at least one person. That's offensive. You can't hold with popular opinion. You can't. Popular opinion can't even hold itself. Right? There's only one thing that I know that stood the test of time, and that was the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where I am formed. And that is what I stick to. And that is what we should always stick to. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful.